Welcome to Season 3 of E-Commerce Fastlane, Episode 91.
Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane, the podcast show to help you build, launch, grow, and scale a wildly successful e-commerce company. Listen to real conversations with proven practical strategies and success stories. Learn how to generate more traffic, more sales, more profit, and customer lifetime value for your Shopify store. And now, your host and e-commerce entrepreneur, Steve Hutt.
This episode is brought to you by OmniSend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands and marketers that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Google and Facebook. So it's much more than just email marketing. They handle all of your marketing activities across multiple channels, all from within one platform. They have single-click Shopify integration, which also includes email templates and automatic product import from Shopify. Super easy migration from any other email solution that you might be currently using. And right now, OmniSend is offering a 14-day free trial for all of my listeners, which also includes 50% off for the first 3 months. So check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/OmniSend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Hey there, it's Steve, and welcome back to the E-Commerce Fastlane podcast. Now, if this is your first time listening, this is an e-commerce show where we have honest and transparent conversations about building and thriving with your store powered by Shopify or Shopify Plus. Now, new episodes are available each week with your favorite podcast player through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and Spotify. Or you can also sign up online at ecommercefastlane.com and be notified when a new show is being released. My guest on today's episode is Michael Krakaris, who's the co-founder from Deliverr. And they're a fulfillment provider that helps multi-channel e-commerce merchants access nationwide two-day delivery no matter what they sell. Now, two-day delivery really is valuable because buyers, number one, expect fast delivery, and many Shopify brands, unfortunately, aren't able to offer this outside of Amazon. So if you want your store to compete with a lot of these big marketplaces like Amazon, and you're looking to potentially diversify into a multi-channel world, you know, or just want to boost your sales, this episode is really for you. So let's jump in and learn more. So hi, Michael. Welcome to E-Commerce Fastlane.
Hey, thanks for having me, Steve. Glad we can finally connect on this.
Absolutely. It's exciting to share this opportunity because I think there's a lot of brands that are challenged a bit by being able to differentiate themselves and get this product in the hands of the people where the audience actually is. And I think it's interesting, the solution you offer. I guarantee you most people listening today have never heard of you. And I think this is a great opportunity to kind of share the successes of what Deliverr is actually doing. Just on a high level, what does Deliverr do? I mentioned a little bit at the top of the show, but what sort of problem are you attempting to solve for Shopify brands?
Yeah, I mean, at a high level, Deliverr is an Amazon-like fulfillment service for online merchants. And so we specialize in empowering a merchant with fast and free delivery, enabling them to offer free two-day delivery anywhere they sell, and also around next-day delivery to around 40% of the United States at the exact same cost. And so we have packaged that offering into three kind of core benefits. Number one is this badging component where you get a two-day badge and then a next-day badge on your Shopify store. So we've actually built a plugin that automatically shows this badge based on where the buyer's located. So it really gives that prime-like experience to your Shopify buyer. Two is combining that with a very simple rate. So we have a special Shopify two-day rate for orders that come in through this program, and it's a fixed rate. So regardless of where you're shipping to across the country, you pay the exact same rate. It also doesn't change between 2 day and next day. So it's the exact same cost to sell that item. And that provides a level of predictability that some of the really fast growing Shopify merchants really need because their businesses are scaling so quickly. And the last part is hassle-free. Shopify platform and the Shopify ecosystem is that everything is pre-built, plug and play, it's super quick. To connect Deliverr to Shopify and scale up, you know, we've taken some Shopify Plus merchants from very small and scaled them up very quickly with really no outside dev work. In addition to that, there's no long-term contracts. It's hassle-free. And you can really use as much or as little as you like.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. And I'm looking forward to hopefully digging into some case studies of kind of what other brands are doing and kind of what kind of lift they could potentially get or what people have done. People just feel very inspired a little bit to see what other brands are doing and think, hey, you know what? I sell something similar, or I wouldn't mind getting involved with that too and having the badging. And if it helps with conversion rate and gets people to click buy now more often, that's actually a good thing. We should dig in a little bit about the founder's journey. It seems so interesting to me why people build what they build. And so are you able to share what you believe uniquely positions you and the founding team, I guess, number one, to have the desire, and then number two, to have the expertise to want to create this platform?
Yeah, it started a ways back for me, and I had a bit of a unique journey into e-commerce. So it really starts way back in summer of 2015, which is way back for me, but maybe for other people, not so long ago.
Fair enough.
But in terms of when it all started, I was at my last internship at Northwestern, and I got to intern at a pretty unique company called Twilio. And for those of you who aren't aware, Twilio is a SMS messaging API company. They've expanded to other verticals like voice and IP messaging, things like that. But at the time, it was predominantly SMS messaging API company, and it was scaling extraordinarily fast. So I was around, employee as an intern, but half an employee, I guess, around 400 people there at the time. And this was around 6 to 8 months before they actually IPO'd. And so it was really interesting seeing a company that was scaling extraordinarily rapidly at the time when you had all these unicorns in Silicon Valley. But it wasn't really clear, like, what did things look like behind the curtain? And I got to see what that was like and experience what that was like. And what I learned, what was fascinating about their business model, is that they had really pioneered a new type of business, which was infrastructure as a service, where they looked at the world of telecom, which if you were a company, let's say an airline, your United Airlines, and you want to, send messages to your users for boarding passes or something, you have to build integrations to do that with AT&T, Verizon Wireless, T-Mobile, all the different carriers, because also different carriers have different performance in different regions of the US. And then also, let's say you want to have flights in Canada or you want to have flights in Europe, you have to go rinse and repeat that process with different carriers. And in addition to that, the pricing was all over the place. You had these negotiated contracts, and it was just extraordinarily complex. And so what Twilio did is they simplified that entire world, and they built a very easy to use API that integrated into all of these different carriers on the back end, optimized performance, and created very simple pay-as-you-go pricing with no contracts, no minimums or something, anything like that. Mm-hmm. And I was inspired by that model because it really did simplify a extraordinarily complex world. And that worked and meshed really well with, at the time, what was going on, which was this on-demand economy where companies like Uber and Lyft were scaling so rapidly and communications to those marketplaces were so core to what they did, that they would have really struggled having to do this without Twilio. And Twilio really solved a major pain point for them. Mm-hmm. And so took that learning and then saw other companies in similar space. Stripe was at the same time doing something very similar for payments. And then most recently saw Plaid with their $5 billion exit doing a very similar thing that what Plaid did for credit card payments, they did it for ACH payments.
Right.
And so after that, I kind of went back to my last quarter at Northwestern and was really fascinated with this infrastructure as a service model, because I thought it was a really new way of doing things, very different from the SaaS, traditional SaaS model. Then started learning a little bit about AWS, which was the first pioneer in that space. And then, graduated Northwestern December 2015 and then went to work at a company called Symphony Commerce. And Symphony was really unique. It was actually one of the best places to be for someone who's just getting started in e-commerce. As a reminder, I was at Twilio. I was in SMS messaging and communications, cloud communications. And so e-commerce was completely new to me. And what was fascinating about Symphony is that they did everything for a merchant. They built the website, they did inventory order management software, and then they built integrations into 3PLs. So I got to learn how a checkout system works, how inventory order management systems work, like what Shopify has, and then also got to learn about the fulfillment piece. And the fulfillment piece ended up having very similar trends to the telecom space, where you have these warehouse providers, a lot more warehouse providers than you have carriers. So it was even more complex with different pricing, different performance. And it was so incredibly difficult. I remember we were working with brands like Fiji Water or Pepsi or Gatorade. And every time they started scaling or they had to do promotions or things like that, or they wanted to get faster and faster on their shipping speeds, it was so difficult doing that. It was just a massive quarterly project to get a new warehouse on board, figure out how to integrate that warehouse into the e-com platform. And then also you have to negotiate pricing with all of them. And they want you to commit to certain levels of space, as like in the telecom space, a carrier want you to commit to a certain level of usage. And for these brands, you know, someone as big as Pepsi might have an operations team that could do it. But we also had very fast growing brands, and they simply just could not adapt to that model. And it really became one, fulfillment could have been a growth driver. It was really a growth constrictor.
I see.
And that's where we thought about the idea, where I kind of took the e-commerce knowledge and experience. I met my co-founder Harish there, and I took that experience and then meshed it with that experience of Twilio. And I was like, what if we built an infrastructure as a service model for the fulfillment space? This idea of like Twilio for fulfillment. And that's where it really started, where we started building the Deliver platform around three core elements that I mentioned before, which was number one, super easy pricing, pay-as-you-go pricing, similar to like that Twilio or that Stripe model. Two, hassle-free onboarding. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like Twilio could take Uber, who does a million messages a day, or an engineer at a college hackathon who just needs to do one message a day for some pizza delivery app. And the third element, which was unique to this space, was this element around speed. And so we made the fundamental bet that e-commerce is starting to blend more and more into physical commerce, because we saw what it was doing with some of these big brands, and decided that speed needed to be a core element. And so for that, we decided to build an asset-light network where we wouldn't own the warehouses, but we integrated into a lot of different third-party warehouses. Mm-hmm. And we built an element of two-day, and now we're moving towards next-day delivery that formed kind of the crux of this three-benefit model.
I have a couple brands that are using your solution. One I know is definitely in talks with you. And one of the exciting things that they are thinking about was the connection to other marketplaces, not just 3PLs, for example, but to other marketplaces where there's a baked in audience. You know, for example, Walmart. You're able to share with the audience today why somebody would want to get on board with Deliver and what Walmart offers the potential merchant based on connecting to you folks.
Yeah. And this kind of goes along the theme of traditionally warehousing services were viewed as a cost factor. And right. You saw the first fulfillment service change that from being a cost center to a revenue driver. And that was fulfilled by Amazon. Why was that? Because they gave you access to Prime when no one else could. And we have the thesis that similarly Deliver should be a revenue driver. And that is what we are for merchants. We're a tool for you to get to scale, to get higher volume. We're not a tool for you to save even more on cost. While it will be cost efficient, the benefit of Deliver is that you can sell more of what you have. And so a big way that you do that is through all these different channels. And so similar like what we have with Shopify with this two-day and next-day delivery badge, we have badges with some of the biggest marketplaces online today. So we have a two-day delivery badge for Walmart. We are the most popular fulfillment service for Walmart sellers right now by very wide margin. Mm-hmm. And what that enables you to do, and on a marketplace is basically creating an artificial environment where they're setting certain rules to a game. And the more of those rules you meet, the more impressions you get, the more volume you get. And so there's a few core factors to the rules. With any marketplace, fundamental things in how it operates. And number one is price, but number two is shipping most often. And so in this case, when you get this two-day delivery badge, you show up higher on search. You get preferential treatment if you're competing with another seller selling the same item, if you're in the buy box. And overall, you know, when Walmart goes and runs these huge promotions, they're going to feature items with fast shipping because they know that's what their buyer wants. And so with our sellers, when they get the two-day badge on Walmart, they've seen more than double in volume. I think even some of your Shopify Plus merchants who are using it have seen that, where they're able to turn this into a meaningful business. And the unique thing as it pertains to Walmart specifically is that while it only has around, you know, 14% of the volume or the GMV that Amazon has, now, of course, we're going to have to rerun all these numbers at the end of this year because that's thrown things very differently. But let's say traditionally we're looking at this 2019, around 14%, what Amazon does, it only has around 1% of selection. And that's from both a 1P and a 3P side. So there's a lot of opportunity when you look at that ratio to get in front of more buyers, relatively speaking. Now, it obviously varies by category, but that's the general trend that you see. And so it helps you get in front of more buyers, a different type of buyer base than you otherwise would on Amazon. Right. And we've also gone and built badging with all the with a bunch of different marketplaces as well. So we support Fast and Free on the eBay marketplace. And so we've seen a few sellers really do well there as well. And then just recently launched Wish Express. So Wish doesn't get a whole lot of coverage with merchants in the US, but it's actually one of the biggest marketplaces in the United States today. It's the second most downloaded shopping app in the US right now. And so we've started putting selection on there and are seeing some really interesting results. So there's a lot more to come there, but seeing some interesting traction there with some of the more affordable items, you know, somewhere below $25, you know, selling price, certainly potential.
If you can have the two-day badging there, and then you are getting kind of preferential treatment based on that, where is the product physically? So if it shows up on the Walmart's marketplace, is Walmart actually fulfilling the order, or does the Shopify merchant fulfill and they just have the opportunity to fulfill it quickly because the two-day badging is there? I'm just trying to understand the whole self-fulfill, the third-party marketplace, or some people have the concept about what Amazon is doing with FBA. So just maybe just for some clarity.
Yeah, it's interesting because it's also evolving and it's kind of more of a hybrid-like system. And so in the Walmart ecosystem, it's actually modeled very similarly to the Amazon ecosystem in terms of how they've divided out the different programs. So you have 1P, which is where they're going to purchase your inventory, and then they'll sell that online. Also, 1P can include both an in-store and an online dual contract, which certain brands, like some Shopify brands, some Shopify Plus brands have access to. So that's the first program. And that, if fulfillment for the 1P side is all done through Walmart's, either their store network or their e-commerce fulfillment centers that they own across the country. Okay. Then you have a hybrid model called dropship vendor, which is where the merchant ships themselves, but they ship it on Walmart's account. And that is also technically still exists in Amazon. It's a smaller program in Amazon. You tend to see that that model exists, this DSV or dropship vendor model exists with like Target, Home Depot, Macy's, Nordstrom. Typically, it's for extraordinarily high SKU count sellers or very heavy, bulky items. Right. That tends to be what you see with dropship. Then you have third party. And third party is you essentially have to, you know, sell directly to that customer, but Walmart sits in between. They take they have a take rate somewhere usually around 15%, similar like what Amazon has. And you can either fulfill yourself or you can use a pre-approved partnered fulfillment provider like Deliver to do that for you. And Deliver and Walmart manage all sorts of things similar to how FBA works in conjunction with the Prime team. Now, people don't entirely know what that relationship looks like because both of it sits within Amazon. But in terms of the integration, how the badge is displayed versus not displayed, how we institute like seller protection, things like that requires a very deep integration between the Deliver and the Walmart system that we've been able to build over the past 8 to 12 months.
So fascinating. You know, the whole Amazon thing too, I just remember a conversation I had recently with a brand, and they were trying to look into FBA, which is fulfillment by Amazon, meaning you're on Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, you work your way up through ads and getting into the buy box, you get in there and Amazon sells it, Amazon fulfills it. That is a pretty common view of Amazon. But then there's this MCF program, this multi-channel fulfillment. And it's interesting that some Shopify brands are saying, maybe instead of warehousing the product myself, I can have the order go through my Shopify store, but then Amazon will fulfill it for me as a 3PL partner. And that's this, and I'm sure you know about this, this multi-channel fulfillment. So I'm trying to figure out, for those listening in today that can maybe see Deliver as a great opportunity, how does the Amazon component fit into the equation if the merchant wants the badging on their own store to motivate people that, yes, this can be next day or 2 days, so with, you know, with your plugin, but then who is in fact going to be the 3PL or the fulfillment partner to make sure it actually gets there on time?
Yeah, it's really, really common to see, you know, merchants using Amazon multi-channel fulfillment for either their own website or for some of these other channels. And so in terms of the difference that you get and some of the benefits that you get from moving beyond that to a service like Deliver, it's a few things. So number one is that you do get this element of badging. You know, Amazon is not going to build badging into your website or
no.
give you access to two-day delivery on Walmart or eBay.
True.
Because,
yeah.
you know, from if you're thinking about it as a merchant, you know, Amazon has their own interests and FBA is part of Amazon and
right.
that is their secret sauce. And so they're always going to keep the best prices and the fastest delivery speeds for Amazon. Multi-channel fulfillment was set up for merchants that have all their inventory in Amazon. At least they have an option to sell elsewhere, but it won't have that level of convenience that you get if someone comes to Amazon. And I don't think that will change anytime soon. And so that's number one. Number two is on the pricing side, they're very comparable, extraordinarily similar. But one thing that is interesting is that because Amazon doesn't really want to give away their secret sauce, the speeds are slower. So typically sellers use Amazon multi-channel fulfillment for their standard shipping. Their two-day rates are okay. Their next day rates are, they've surged them quite a bit. They're very, very high.
Right.
Very, very few. I've maybe encountered one merchant before that's ever used Amazon multi-channel next day rates. And there's a reason. They don't want you going out and using Amazon to power next day delivery on other channels because that's where they're fundamentally moving positioning Prime, right?
Right, right.
And so for a lot of merchants that want to get into two-day and next day, really, because we have that 40% boost in next day and it's bundled as a single rate, that program is typically faster than the Amazon multi-channel program and also at around the same price. And so, you know, from a price and speed component, there's certainly differentiation there. And then lastly is access to these other channels. A lot of times you can't even use Amazon for certain channels because it comes in Amazon packaging, it ships on transportation by Amazon. So for example, you can't use FBA to fulfill your Walmart orders. I believe there's maybe one or two other channels who've done similar things. And so it's not really an option for all those other channels. And then also, if you think about carrying that over to your own website, your own Shopify store, the complexity there is that you can get some confused buyers where they buy it on your website and then it shows up on their doorstep in an Amazon box and they don't really remember buying anything from Amazon. And so that leads to sometimes some buyer confusion. I would say more, that's more of a minor piece, but certainly have gotten that concern from merchants before. And then on the second piece, which was around delivery performance and how Deliver ensures performance, that was the second part of the question, right?
Yeah.
So it's an interesting model in that we're like an Uber-like asset-light network of warehouses. So even though we don't technically own the warehouses or employ the warehouse workers, we've abstracted away that operational component. So from a merchant standpoint, you're dealing with just Deliver, but each warehouse, we have a certain set of SLAs, API requirements, things of that nature to make sure that they're able to meet their on-time delivery SLAs. And we do the same thing with on the carrier side, which is equally, if not more important than the warehousing side of things. And so it is like that Uber experience where you just deal with Deliver, but on the back end, it's a very elastic network. That provides two big benefits. Number one is in a time like this where you have huge surges in volume, we can expand capacity extraordinarily rapidly and faster than any other fulfillment service in the United States. Number two is that it gives us an element of speed and helps us get to that element of speed very fast. So for example, last year we started with very minimal next day coverage. We've grown that to 40% over the past few months and done that fairly quietly, but are able to do that very efficiently because of the asset-light nature of the model. And we're able to get to majority of the U.S. on next-day delivery at no extra cost by the end of this year.
That's exciting. I can't wait to put all this in the show notes. I think this is very eye-opening, being merchant-facing all day long. And these sort of strategic conversations happen quite a bit. I'm going to make a little tiny pivot. You know, it's obviously a pretty hot topic right now about social distancing and kind of the self-quarantine that all of us are in working from home. I'm just curious to see, what have you seen COVID-19 and how it's affected e-commerce?
Yeah, I mean, at a broader level, I think it's changed the nature of e-commerce and it has accelerated certain trends that were already happening, but has taken them to a new level. We track, and the Federal Reserve tracks, the percentage of online retail as percentage of total retail, or sales of online retail as percentage of total retail sales. Right. And last year that was pegged around 11%. Mm-hmm. And it had made its biggest gain last year. And predominantly because of the introduction of next day delivery from Prime. And then you saw Walmart fall suit very similarly. And that started eating into physical retail. But that's 11%. That's what all of our systems are built on. That's what Shopify systems right. built on, is what Deliver yep. systems built on, is what Amazon's built in. We are programmed to be able to handle 11%. And then there's this one period in the year where we're all trained to be able to go up 4X or 5X. And so all of a sudden, that has kind of been turned on its head. And physical retail has, in some places, completely shut down. In other places, just been really dwindled down. Right. And now that 11%, maybe it's not 100%, but even going to 20%, 25%, 30%, that expansion is so massive that no service was set up to be able to handle something like a double in that rate, just because physical retail is so massive.
Right.
And then if you combine that with the companies that offer two-day and next-day delivery, which right now, you look at it in a big way, you kind of have Amazon, you have Walmart, and you have us, and maybe two or three other retailers in the US, right. It puts a huge amount of load on those systems, enormous amount of load. And also though, because there isn't that physical retail option, the volume on items that are 2-day and next day enabled is just remarkable right now. So for us, you know, as a company, we've now become accustomed to doing more than Cyber Monday volumes every day now. That's the new normal for us. And we thought it was going to level off, but it's that was the new normal 2 weeks ago. I don't know what the new normal is going to be next week. It's just on a new universe. It will come back down. It won't stay around, you know, e-commerce sales as a percentage of total retail won't stay at whatever it is right now at some crazy number as physical retail starts to open up. But I do think there will be a new normal. I don't think it's going back to 11%. You know, you may see this go back down to maybe 15%. And just that is such an enormous expansion that I think that market just presents a huge opportunity for merchants. Now, you have that happening on the demand side. The supply side is a completely different animal on its own.
Yeah.
And that's been really, really fascinating and unique. And huge kudos to some of those freight forwarders out there like Flexport, Freightos, those freight forwarders, because the supply chain side in China has been coming back online. But you see on the supply chain side in the US is very, very low. A lot of the manufacturers, especially ones that manufacture essential goods like Procter & Gamble or Unilever, are simply so backed up on the manufacturing of those essential goods, they can't get any other inventory out to merchants. And so are extraordinarily backlogged. So merchants are having to turn to China, and that's created a lot of supply shortages. Also, at the demand that they're seeing, they're putting in way bigger purchase orders than those manufacturers were accustomed to seeing, especially for April. And that's put a huge amount of load on the system. And so you definitely see this. Merchants who have a lot of options from a supply chain side, they can source from the US, they can source from China, they can do a combination. They have very continuous shipments. They don't just depend on one shipment every quarter. They have routine shipments coming in every few weeks. Those are the merchants that we're seeing really exceed in this environment.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for sharing that. Let's dig into some of the success of people making the Deliver choice, because I think that you obviously have direct access to a lot of merchants that are using your solution. And I would love it if you could maybe share a case study or two of kind of what you've seen.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of, and can focus it just on the Shopify side, I mean, we have thousands of merchants in the program and all kind of using us for different channels or different combinations of different channels. But, you know, a really interesting one that comes to mind is a, you know, Shark Tank merchant called Tush Baby. So they have a lot of the shark merchants that show up on Shark Tank get funded. They end up using Deliver. What was interesting is that she used to offer paid shipping and was getting a handful paid 2-day shipping and was getting a handful of orders every day. So you had an idea that, you know, there was certainly an appetite for fast shipping among their buyer. And that's what's really important when you have your own Shopify store. You want to build an understanding of your buyer. You want to understand, what are they sensitive to? What are they not sensitive to? The amount of times I hear a merchant say, my buyer absolutely loves a branded box when it shows up, okay, when really they reward next day delivery at a completely different level, or vice versa. Right. It happens a lot. And the way you solve this is through testing. And so similarly with Tush Baby, we tested it out. We tried it for a few weeks where we offered free two-day delivery. She inbound her stuff into Deliver and immediately saw an improvement, around 30% lift in her sales, which that lift in sales outweighs any difference in cost between moving from standard to two-day delivery or having to outsource fulfillment.
Right. For sure.
But you know, that comes in with that understanding, that growth mindset of trying and optimizing new things. And that sensitivity varies by merchant. So we just onboarded a really large apparel shoe seller who's on Shopify. And you wouldn't really expect that buyers would reward getting shoes in 2 days or less. And immediately you see around a 25% improvement to their cost to acquire. And, you know, that's pretty substantial for a merchant doing thousands of orders a day. It certainly adds up. And then that's on the lower end. But then when you get to the CPG side, you start seeing some pretty wild conversion numbers. Mm. And so for the CPG sellers who've tried this out, you're seeing around 200% plus improvement in conversion, improvement in ROAS when they move to a 2-day and next day delivery model. And it increases logarithmically with each shipping speed. So what we do is we measure conversion based on each shipping speed so they can see. And what's interesting, because again, it's a blended rate. So regardless of whether you're 2-day or next day, you pay the same cost. And so with the same cost, you get different ROIs, and you can just see incredible increases in conversion when you get the free next day delivery on CPG products. I think one of these CPG merchants, they sell black seed oil. And then we have, you know, some coffee sellers who are doing it, a hangover cure. That merchant is testing us out over the next period. So yeah, certainly interesting. We're trying to abstract away some of this data so we can give more valuable insights to the broader Shopify merchant base at a category by category level, because it's 100% the most common question we get. But ultimately, the way you can do it, you can always run a test. We've developed very lightweight ways, and Shopify is super easy about getting tests set up where you can understand the sensitivity for your buyers with fast shipping. And that can help you make very strong data-driven decisions as to, does it make sense for you to offer free 2-day, free next day delivery, or do your buyers really just kind of reward a slower shipping but more branded experience?
I see. And then do you have the option of only selecting a few SKUs as a test, or do you kind of more appreciate a full catalog?
You can do either. I think it really depends, again, on the business owner. And so if you think that your website has very connected SKUs, it's a very connected shopping experience across your different SKUs, and if it's a lower SKU count, then I would suggest trying the majority of your SKUs. Right. If it's more of a higher SKU count, like for example, this shoe seller, then what you would do is pick certain styles. So that's how they tested it. They went with their most popular styles. They picked around 4 of them. We created a control group where they don't see the badge, and we ran ads on that. And then we had the 2-day and then the next day group, and they were able to see which zip codes are next day enabled, which zip codes are 2-day enabled. And they ran ads on all 3. So it's actually a perfect test. And then they were able to see the performance across all these different groups.
Very cool.
And there, it's a very simple equation where you're seeing, does the cost to acquire outweigh the difference in cost in shipping between standard and 2-day delivery? After a month of data, depending on your volume, you can make a very clear decision that you can, you know, show your board or show, you know, the other stakeholders involved.
Very cool. Very cool. I'm glad that's available and that test is available. We'll make sure I'll line this all up in the show notes for those that are interested in giving your platform a whirl. I know we did definitely talk offline, and we'll chat about that in a few minutes. But let's talk about your access to entrepreneurs, because I think there's a lot of different complexities and different maturities of Shopify brands that have made the decision to use Deliver. If you were to give some advice today, let's say for early stage entrepreneurs, their store is built on Shopify, they've got a little bit of product fit, market fit. So meaning, you know, there is some traction being made, but they really want to scale it out more. Like, what sort of advice would you give them today?
What I've noticed separates the best Shopify entrepreneurs from maybe the good, but not great, is a fundamental understanding of your commerce graph. And what I call a commerce graph, and I think it exists at an item level. So understanding what your item is, who your buyer is. So that's number one. You have to understand what your buyer is, what your demographic is, or a subset of that. Mm-hmm. Where they discover your product. So there's four key product discovery channels. You have Facebook, you have Instagram, Google Shopping, and YouTube. And in some cases, Amazon itself. But usually...
Once again, thanks for coming on the show.
Down in the funnel, actually. Contrary to what a lot of people think. Even though a lot of searches begin on Amazon, the discovery of that product is happening on one of those big two companies, Facebook or Google's platform. They discover your product. Understanding where it is they transact. So does your buyer tend to want to transact on Amazon? Do they want to transact on Shopify? A combination? Walmart, like we talked about earlier. And then how fast do they want it delivered? And that will give you an understanding around all the different types of systems that you should use. And you should really hone in on somewhere between 1 to 3 of those channels. I think more than 3, if you're just getting started, is going to be too much. Right. And it'll be too much context switching, because I've noticed that the skill set needed to really succeed well on your Shopify store, especially as it relates to ad targeting and selection, is very different from the skill set needed to succeed on Walmart or on eBay. And if you're just one person and you can't really divide up the different responsibilities, right, you want to stick with channels that really play well together. And there you'll be able to find that by understanding what your buyer base looks like. So that's number one. Without number one, I think the rest is going to be really difficult. And a lot of times you'd be surprised how often they get that wrong, right, where they think, oh yeah, this is my $60 protein powder, but people on eBay are going to love it. Well, they don't want to buy it. People on eBay don't want to buy your $60 protein powder. You know, that does really well on your own website, where you can target very unique demographics of people. Let's say it's keto-friendly protein powder. Well, then you can target keto-friendly demographics in Facebook very easily. And then that also caters well to Amazon, which tends to cater to a more upscale e-commerce audience. But you need to be able to understand fundamentally where you think your buyer base lives. Then second is this ability to test and try new things out, fail fast, learn fast. Right. And so often we see merchants and entrepreneurs so risk-averse to trying new things, because they've done most of the risk on the invention or trying and building a new product, that they don't want to try innovating or risk innovating on the distribution side. And the ones that are really successful are the ones that not only innovate on the, you know, designing the product and building this unique product, but they also innovate on how they're going to distribute it and get it to the end buyer.
So let's talk about the future of Deliver. Are you able to share any North Star, any highlights for your 2020 roadmap, like partner alignment, any innovation, anything that you can share today that you believe might help the Shopify brands?
Wow, man. Well, right now it's getting through the next few weeks. So I think the biggest thing, and being able to expand capacity at a level that no one really was predicting.
Right.
And then I think in terms of, you know, new features, we're building all sorts of, you know, new features for Shopify merchants. A lot of it were kind of more simple things that if you were a Shopify merchant already using Deliver, you're like, oh man, it's kind of annoying that I have to do this kind of workaround to integrate Deliver with this use case. And so we're covering some of the most more basic use cases. But I think on a more fundamental level, you are going to see, you know, our 2-day and next day badging get expanded and their next day coverage to really expand over the course of this year. So those will be some of the bigger changes that you'll see. And we'll kind of keep you posted as we hit major milestones. And you'll probably see it on your store, honestly. I mean, you know, 3 weeks ago, most of our Shopify merchants woke up to see that there was next day coverage in almost all the West Coast. And so It'll kind of be something like that, where we're doing a lot of things internally, and then we'll kind of give you an update every few months.
Beautiful. So, Michael, we are nearing the end of the show for today. Really appreciate everything that you've shared. Do you have any closing comments or any takeaways that you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing is, understand your buyers, understand what they want. And then also, if you can make it through this period, I know it's a tough period for everyone, but you'll be stronger for it. And the merchants that are really succeeding, they're really going to be at another level when we get into the fall and into the winter. So obviously, if you have questions and you want to talk about it, and also want to talk to other Shopify merchants who use Deliverr, just feel free to reach out.
Yeah, I was going to say how people can learn more about the Deliverr solution. So obviously Deliverr.com, that's with two R's. Anywhere else that you would like people to go to learn more?
Yeah, I mean, Deliverr.com/Shopify, you can see the Shopify program. You can see the badging piece. We'll have some case studies there. I know Tush Baby's in there. We have three or four others, Vasanti Cosmetics, Chassis for Men, and another one, actually a really cool one coming out this week, I think.
Oh, nice.
300% lift and conversion for eye masks, which is an interesting one.
Very cool.
So yeah, all that's on our website.
Excellent. I'll make sure I update all of that in the show notes. And I know we spoke offline just for recording today, and understand that you would like to offer our listeners with a little, almost a listener-only promotion. Are you able to share some details on that?
Yeah, so we created a promo code just for listeners of this show. It's called Ecommerce Fastlane is the promo code. If you have a Deliverr account, just plop that in on the settings page under promo codes. It's 1 month of free storage. So 1 month of free storage for any listeners here. And then also, if you don't remember the code, that's fine. Just let our sales team know you heard about us here, and we're happy to auto-apply that to your account.
Beautiful. Well, thank you very much, Michael, for coming on the show today. This is a very unique and exciting opportunity. I guarantee you there's so many folks that have never heard of you, like I said at the top of the show, and I'm hoping this helps you gain some traction about the platform you're building and just the kind of impact that you're having with Shopify brands. And I really appreciate the innovation.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, Steve.
This episode was brought to you by Omnisend, makers of sophisticated omnichannel marketing automation tools for sales-driven Shopify brands that have outgrown generic email marketing platforms. Engage your customers and boost your e-commerce sales with dynamic emails, text messages, web push notifications, Facebook Messenger, and retargeting ads on Facebook and Google, all from one platform. Try Omnisend for free for 14 days. Check them out, ecommercefastlane.com/Omnisend, and use the coupon code FASTLANE when you sign up. Well, that's it for today's episode. I'd like to thank you, a loyal listener of Ecommerce Fastlane. It's my hope that this podcast is offering you a ton of value through growth strategies, tactics, and exclusive insider tips on the best Shopify apps and marketing platforms, all with my personal goal to help you build, launch, grow, and scale with Shopify. Thanks for investing some time today and listening to the show. I'm so proud and excited that you have a growth mindset and are a constant learner. I truly appreciate you and your entrepreneurial journey. Enjoy the rest of the week and keep thriving with Shopify.